The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Please turn to page 111 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Allow me to read the words of God. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen." On September 28th, a 7.5 magnitude earthquake hit Palu on the island of Sulawesi, Indonesia. 2,256 people were killed. 4,612 people were seriously injured. And 1,309 people have gone missing. The Indonesian government said that it was hard to determine an accurate figure because the scale of damage is so massive. The damage from the earthquake was enormous. But I cannot forget about the tsunami that occurred on December 26, 2004, due to an earthquake under the northern sea of Sumatra Island, Indonesia. 230,000 people lost their lives at the time. The shock of that moment is still vivid. That was when people first realized that such a word called tsunami existed and deeply realized how horrifying such a word can be. Many people were dumbfounded after watching that tsunami on the news. And would you believe if I said that tragic disasters such as the tsunami on the Sumatra Island in 2004 that killed 230,000 people occurs every other week? Would you believe if I said that disasters like the earthquake that occurred on Sulawesi Island last September, with over 2,200 casualties, occur 6 times a day, or once a day on each continent? They are actually happening. According to the World Food Plan's October report from 2017, about 821 million people, which is about a bit over 10% of the world's entire population of 7.6 billion, are suffering from chronic starvation, and around 5 million children under 5 years of age die every year from malnutrition. The number of children dying from malnutrition is equivalent to that of the Sulawesi earthquake in Indonesia occurring 6 times a day, and equal to the number of lives that were lost during the tsunami on Sumatra Island occurring every other week. According to the 2013 statistics of the International Labor Organization, the number of people who earn $2 to $10 a day, which is barely over the poverty line, which is daily earning of $2, is about 2.8 billion, which is around 40% of the entire population. And there are 1.2 billion people who earn less than $1.25, which is around 1,400 Korean won per day. Such poorest nations actually become even more frustrated when a natural disaster such as mega earthquake or typhoon occurs in another country, because all international attention will be focused on that country and all kinds of supports and aids will head towards that country as well. The best topic in our society is the economy, along with peace on Korean Peninsula. In fact, economy has always made the top on the list when it comes to people's interest, ever since the beginning of history. The hole inside people's heart that say a bit more than what I have now, a bit more better than how I am now, seems like it may never be filled, just like a black hole. The disciples who watched Jesus pray asked him to teach them how to pray. And so the prayer that Jesus taught is the Lord's Prayer, which we use to confess every Sunday worship. There are three things about God and three things about us in the Lord's Prayer. For the past 3 weeks, we have shared our learning about the three things about God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, are not just simple prayers, but a resolution to give ourselves and to wish that prayer will come true through our lives. Among the three things about us and the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread comes first. Christians tend to think that praying for spiritual things is noble, and praying for materials is of low class. But the Bible never says so. If we seek for only visual, materialistic things, we will easily become secularists. And if we only seek after spiritual things, then we will easily become mystics. It is only suitable that we seek for spiritual things because we are spiritual beings that resemble the form of God who is the Spirit. And it is also natural that we seek after materialistic things because our bodies are made from earth. I sometimes meet with those who say, I do not pray for myself. God provides everything for me, even though I do not pray for them. I work for God, and God works for me. I was never short of money in my life, even if I didn't pray for things to eat and live off by. That confession may be their truth, but at times, I feel like giving a slight glance at them when they say that. If they had nothing short in life, even though they did not pray for their material needs, then that's probably because they benefited from their parents, who worked very hard, and maybe inherited quite a portion of the wealth, or was given the ability to produce wealth, like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said that the first and foremost thing we should ask for about ourselves is the daily bread. So, praying for things that we need in life is never a low-class thing. But this prayer has deeper meaning than to just ask for daily meals. You will be able to deeply and properly understand the meaning of this prayer if you understand the manna incident that occurred when the Israelite descendants were passing through the desert out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 3 says as follows. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. God had helped the Israelite descendants who were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years to escape out of Egypt through Moses, and allow them to cross the dried up Red Sea. The Exodus was the best incident and the God's grace that they will never forget. So all Israelites gave praise of gratitude to God. After the praise, they started walking through the desert. They walked for 3 days, but were not able to get any water. A desert was somewhere where water wasn't plenty. So they may have not expected a river, but there also wasn't a stream nor even a well. Even if they had carried water in their water skin or other type of barrel, they wouldn't have lasted 3 days. They finally arrived to a region with water and drank the water gladly, but the water was too bitter to drink. So the people named the place Marah, which means bitter. That was when people started complaining from here to there. They started shouting, "What are we supposed to drink?" God made Moses break a branch and throw it in the water, turning the bitter water into sweet water. By the time they arrived at Elim, God enabled them to drink from the 12 springs and led them to rest under 70 palm trees. But when the Israelites arrived at the desert of Sin, the voice of resentment became even louder. That day was the 15th day of the second month, and the day they left Egypt was January 15th. So this meant that it was exactly a month after they had left Egypt. They probably ran out of food regardless of how much they prepared before leaving. The grace of passing through the Red Sea became nothing after a month. A lot of Christians wish to experience the miraculous grace of God. But things like miracles cannot transform a person. A miracle may become a turning point of changing the direction of life for those who do not know God well, or those who just started living a life of faith. Because to realize there is someone who is interested in my life, that there is someone who loves me, after thinking that everything you see is all there is in life, that I am responsible for my own life, and that everything ends after my life, is a very important enlightenment. The Israelite descendants were the perfect example that showed that people do not change through miracles, but become anew through God's words. They were the only generations that watched the Red Sea dry up. But even after experiencing such a great thing, they started complaining and blaming after the 3 days, and later acted as if it never happened after 30 days. What the Israelites complained about was, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." To put it more straightforwardly, they meant, either way, we will die. Then, if we died eating meat and other things as much as we'd like to, then our bodies would at least look fine in Egypt. If we starved to death in the desert, wouldn't our bodies look pathetic? In that very moment, eating and drinking was a priority in life for the Israelites. To further interpret, they were saying that even if they wanted to keep the words of God, they couldn't because they did not have anything to eat. To put it in easier words, they were saying, God, it is not that we do not serve because we do not want to. We would love to serve you, but we can't because we are worried about our survival. They were protesting that they would have served God better if they didn't have to worry about eating. But in fact, this isn't something only those from 3,400 years ago would have said. Same applies to today's world. People think that they cannot live according to the words of God or be able to serve God because they do not have more than what they have now, because they cannot enjoy more than what they enjoy now, or because they are in a better situation than they are in now. So their prayers say, God, I will live according to the words of God and serve you when my situation gets better than now, or if the current situation passes. Of course, that prayer may probably be true at that moment. But it is also true that if things turn out better than now, you will have second thoughts. And if the current situation passes, another situation occurs. So, a mature Christian is someone who obeys every moment in their places of life. At every moment. If you can confess, God, our families are in lack of food, so it is up to me to work hard to win the situation. I may not be able to do volunteer works at church, but I will earn honest money to serve my family like a person of faith should. In your prayer, instead of just saying, if I get to earn more money, or if you help me earn more money, then when you're financially broke, then you are a great Christian. Also, if your child or yourself are preparing for a school exam or applying jobs, and if you pray like, God, my child will be taking college entrance exam this year, my child's heart will be feeling very poor at this time. I wish to let him or her know about the trustworthy God who walks with us and help us to have proper faith and proper value. Or, God, I am preparing for a test. Let me not be swayed by my swaying heart and make me leave myself to God, the rock. Let me learn of the faith deeply trusting God by leaving the process and result to God while doing my own best. Instead of praying, if he or she goes to the school that he or she wants, or if I get the job that I want, then you are also already a mature Christian. Life or faith is not an excuse to escape from the places of life, nor is it a deal you make with God. Life of faith is to walk from the places of life with God as the purpose. To the excuses of the Israelites saying that they cannot keep the words of God because they did not have anything to eat, God replied to them as follows in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. God was upset by the complaints of the Israelites. So he said, "You say you can't keep my words because of food. Let's see if this is true or not. I will take care of your daily foods. So let's see if you can keep the words when the food is plenty." And so he gave them manna. For 40 years after that day, God gave them manna. The response of the Israelites when they first saw manna were as follows in Exodus chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. "That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Israelites would not have understood the meaning, even if God told them that he would take care of the food. But when they woke up the next morning, they saw white, round flakes, like frost, on the ground around the camp. People were surprised and asked, 'What is it?' to each other. What is it in Hebrews is manna. And so it was named manna. Moses told the Israelites to take an omer for each person they have in their tent. One omer is about 2.34 liters. When they took this and ate it, it was just the right amount of food, daily food. Not too much, not too little. But there were those who did not trust in God among the Israelites. There were those who brought more manna and left some for later. In the fear that God might forget to give manna tomorrow, or changed his mind and did not give manna, even though they were able to eat this manna every day. Let's look into Exodus chapter 16, verse 20. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. The next morning, the manna was full with maggots and started to smell. Manna were exactly a day's worth. Of course, the manna didn't fall on the day of Sabbath, so they had to gather 2 days' worth of manna. So manna's meaning does not just lie in something to eat. It means to know who provides things to you and helps you preserve your life. The Israelites were supposed to think that God is the supervisor of our lives. But they did not think that way. Jesus fasted for 40 days as he started his public life. When the fasting was over, a devil came and tempted Jesus to make bread out of stones. Jesus replied as follows in Matthew's chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The Greek word artos, which was translated as rice cake in the Korean Bible, refers to staple food rather than snack. So to convey its meaning more accurately, I will call this bread. The reason why the devil told Jesus to make bread with stones was to tempt Jesus that if you are truly the Son of God, tell the people that you are the Messiah by making people possess more, to have more things that they are needed in the world. But Jesus replied that people do not live only on how much you have or not, or how much you have to eat, but with the faith of believing that God is the provider of all possessions and food. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the reason why we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," is to confess that, "God, I am not going to live on my own power, but will live with what you give me. It is God who protects and guides me, my life, not my possessions." So this prayer is not a prayer of asking for provision, but for faith. There may be some who ask that if we are to ask for daily bread, then does that mean that we shouldn't make any savings, buy insurance, or divide our monthly salary into 1/30th and receive them as a daily wage? No, that's not what it means. You can make your savings and buy insurance. If you can, buy a house. It is so much beautiful as a human to pay for an operation with your own savings than to run around asking for money without any savings when a family member needs to get a surgery. So those of you who receive monthly salary should pray to God to give us this month our monthly bread. If there is anyone receiving salary only once in a year, then that person should pray to God to give us this year our yearly bread. What's important is to never forget that God is our provider, our supervisor of life. The reason why we need to prepare for tomorrow is because daily does not only refer to today, but also the next day. It is the same logic in which God gave a day's worth of manna to the Israelites, but also gave the next day's manna on the day before the Sabbath. So this prayer is not just a prayer for today, but also a prayer for tomorrow. But one thing we should be careful is that as much as it is right to prepare for our tomorrow, if we think that we can take care of our tomorrow with our own abilities or with our own possessions, we may face great trouble. Luke chapter 12 shows a parable of a foolish rich man whom Jesus talks about. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus again. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. The reason why God rebukes this rich man is not just because he stored his riches for himself. He trusted more in the fortunes that he had stored, more than he had trusted in God. He should have been as abundant for God as he had been with his savings, but he had nothing towards God. God is telling him that he was wrong. Like it says in Proverbs, we should not only be afraid of stealing and disgracing God's name because we are poor, but should be more afraid of saying, who? God? Full of ourselves. The Bible never says that objects are evil or unnecessary. But the size of the possession and the size of happiness are not proportional. If our possessions are taking up the space for God, that life is already a miserable one. There is another thing that we should be aware of when we pray for, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus did not teach us to say, give me this day my daily bread, but taught us to say, give us this day our daily bread. So, the prayer includes the resolution that we will look after our neighbors as we live. Our church has delivered 50 million Korean won to Palu of Sulawesi Island in Indonesia, which went through a disaster due to an earthquake. This is an act of including them as us. Our church keeps every first Sunday as a sharing Sunday and shares necessities with the local neighbors in need. This is an act of literally including those in need of daily bread in the neighborhood as us. Also, starting this March, we have started to keep the Social Volunteering Sunday every quarter. This is an act of not only including this neighborhood, but our society and the entire world as us. When we look back, including all those whom we haven't included as us, however small that action may seem, God saves lives of people through that action and renews the world. Praying, give us this day our daily bread, is to believe that God is the provider of our lives. A confession to believe in God more than he has provided us, and a resolution that we will embrace those who we have excluded. Blessed be your lives of righteously confessing to give us this day our daily bread in the places of lives in which God has planted us with all his heart and soul for the rest of our lives. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for letting us realize that give us this day our daily bread is a prayer of seeking for faith, not seeking for materials through today's worship. We confess with our lips that We confess numerously with our lips that we believe in God, and we say this in front of other people. But our insides obsess more on what God has given to us, rather than believing in God. And we have been obsessed with how much we had or how less we had. Let us truly believe in God more than anything. Give us the faith to include everyone that we have excluded from our lives. Let us not determine people by their nationality, ethnicity, color of the skin, or education. Let us all include them in our lives through love of the God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.